Things change over the years, don't they? You know, if we're not carefully investing in our walk with Jesus Christ, it begins to drift away. If we're not continually in the Word, if we're not continually in prayer, if we're not really feeding our spirits will shrivel up and die. Same is true for our marriages. If we're not continually investing in our marriages, if we're not continually giving time and attention in our roles in the marriage, our marriages too will shrivel up and die, perhaps. You see, our homes that were once filled with passion and burning love can very easily become cold and dry and crusty houses, where you have two people living in the same house but not really connected. Sort of like the marriage that I read about. The first 7 years of this marriage and how things changed over the years and the husband's response to the wife's sicknesses. In the first year, as the wife got sick, the husband would say, "Sugar dumpling, I'm really worried about my baby girl. You've got a bad sniffle and there's no telling about these things with all the strep going around. I'm putting you in the hospital this afternoon for a general checkup and a good rest. I know the food's lousy, but I'll be bringing you meals in from the macaroni grill. I've already got it all arranged with my boss at work, and I'll take really good care of you." Second year comes along, and the wife gets sick, and the husband says, "Listen, darling, I don't like the sound of that cough, and I've called Doc Miller to rush over here. Now you go to bed like a good girl just for Papa." Third year comes along. "Maybe you better lie down, honey. Nothing like a little rest when you feel lousy. I'll bring you something. Have we got any canned soup in the house?" Fourth year comes along. "Now look, dear, be sensible. After you've fed the kids and got the dishes done and the floor finished, you better lie down." Fifth year. "Why don't you just take a couple aspirin? Get over it." Sixth year. "I wish you'd just gargle or something instead of sitting around barking like a seal all evening." In the seventh year. "For Pete's sake, stop sneezing. Are you trying to give me pneumonia?" Things change, don't they? Marriage is something that requires our constant love and attention. Our constant input. It requires us to invest in it on a regular basis. It demands a flexibility in your life. It demands a lot of forgiveness, doesn't it? A lot of give and take. It demands fortitude. Willing to be put up with something or put up with someone over time. But our marriages are important. And unfortunately, as I survey the body of Jesus Christ, I find that in many families, just the opposite is happening. That although this is a comical story, it also is very real in many people's homes as things change over the years. In the beginning, it was sweet. In the beginning, it was passionate. But over the years, it's become cold and hard and difficult. I've come across too many men, too many husbands that have given up their home and given up the leadership of their home to Satan and to the enemy. Many have checked out of the marriage. No, they're still there. They still bring home the paycheck. They still provide, but they've checked out. And still many others, as we saw last week in the divorce ratio within the church, many other men have just taken off and left an already overburdened wife with more burdens. Things are tough in our homes these days. Men checking out and surrendering their leadership to an already overburdened wife. And as a result, our families are out of whack. They're upside down. They're flipped all over the place. They're moved with every wind of doctrine. And Satan's having a field day among Christian families. One of the biggest tragedies in the Christian home is when a husband fails to take the spiritual lead that he's been given. The responsibility that's on the husband's shoulders. And there are a few reasons for this, I understand. There are a few reasons why the husband won't lead the home. First of all, some wives simply refuse to be led. They decide that they don't want to be led. They don't want to follow the lead of their husband. And maybe she's been leading the home for some time, and a message like this so strikes the husband, and he decides to get right spiritually. And he goes home, and the wife says, "You know what? I've led for so long, I'm not willing to give it up anymore. I'm not willing to give you another chance." She likes to lead. She likes to call the shots. And so the husband decides, well, if you want to call the shots, then go ahead. I've got other things to do. Secondly, some husbands simply don't know how to lead, ladies. They just don't know how. They've never been taught. They don't understand what it means to be a spiritual man in the home. Perhaps it's a past that's been difficult. Perhaps it's a personality area. And so, as we dive into the Word gives us insight on how a man should lead. And still, some husbands are just afraid to fail. They look at it, they look at the responsibility in the home, and they're just afraid to fail. And of course, the list could go on and on. But know this. The Bible's order for the home is for the husband to be the spiritual leader. Husbands, that's your responsibility. To lead your home, to lead your wife, to lead your kids in the things of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit. So families don't have to be mixed up. They don't have to be in disarray. They don't have to be divided. Marriages don't have to be dissolved as the men take up the spiritual headship in the home. Husbands can lead, and we'll find right now in chapter 5, verse 25, by simply loving the wife. And I want to be up front, right at the beginning, men, that this time isn't meant to be a time where you feel condemned and beat up. Where all of a sudden, as we spoke last week, all of these barriers come up. And all of the fleshly responses come up. And right away in your mind you're going, Ed, you don't understand my home. You don't understand my background. You don't understand what I'm going through. So you have no right to talk to me. And tell me how to be a husband. Well, I stand before you not because I understand your home, but because I understand the Word of God. Not only do I understand the Word of God, but I also understand my own home. And the things that God has done through my life in causing me and still making to me be a better husband and a better leader. It's possible. And so there's no reason to put up a wall against me. As I said last week to the ladies, men, I love you too. And to see your home strong and to see you fulfill all that God desires in your home, that blesses my heart. It blesses my heart to know that God can do a mighty work in your home beginning today if you would just follow through with what His design and desire is for your home. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there is now therefore no condemnation. So don't even allow the enemy to beat you up this morning if things are not right in your home. Don't even allow it. But understand this, that if God is calling you to action, make the decision. Go forward and do the hard work because it's worth it in your home. And so wives, last week we spent our time together saying, submit. Voluntarily yield to your husband in the home. And your act of willful and loving submission is an act of worship to your Savior, Jesus Christ. It's an act of worship as you give yourself to the will of God. And we spent considerable time last week looking at the beauty and the dignity of a wife that surrendered to her husband in the Lord. But husbands, that submission is a response to your love. And you find how it is a give and take situation in the home. It's not one-sided. It's not an excuse for you to rule the home with an iron fist. And so we turn our attention to verse 25. And read that Paul says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We'll read straight through. Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, for then the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Did you notice, men, what was repeated for you and me as husbands? Men, what was repeated for you If you are looking at marriage in the future, we see it in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. We see it in verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives. We see it in verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in so particular love his own wife as himself. So, do you get it? That's our responsibility. Love your wives. Three times we're told. Three times it's repeated for us. Love your wives. But back when Paul was speaking to the wives, Paul doesn't even mention wives, love your husbands. Because I find as we look at the area of submission for the wives, and we look at area of love for the husbands, those are exactly the two areas in each of the lives that the husband has trouble with and that the wife has trouble with. The difficulty of submission, men, the difficulty of loving your wife. Loving their wives is a difficult area for husbands. Now, the Greek language had three words to use for that word love back in verse 25. There was eros, which is a very erotic type of word. It refers to that sexual area of love, and men really have no problem loving their wives here. Phileo is the second Greek word, which speaks of a friendly, brotherly type love, and truly many husbands don't have any problems being buddies with their wife. But then there's a third word, agapeo. You might have heard it referred to as agape. And it speaks of a sacrificial love, a giving love. And there, my friends, is the difficulty. Paul says, love your wives sacrificially. You see, most husbands don't have problems with phileo. They don't have problems with eros. But agape, agapeo, that's a difficulty. As a matter of fact, some husbands view their wives only in this eros way. They don't kiss their wives before they go to work. They don't call home in the middle of the day to see how things are. They come home from work. They eat. They plant themselves in front of the TV. And then all of a sudden, at about 10 o'clock, they say, "Oh, honey, I love you." That's not what Paul's talking about here in verse 25, verse 28, and verse 33. He says, husbands, love your wives sacrificially. Give to your wives. And God's demonstrated that love for us. He's given us a picture. He's given us insight. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In our worst condition, in the worst place that we could have possibly been, in the deepest rebellion that lays before us, Jesus Christ still died for us. He still died for you and for me. And so real love acts, is an action. Real love sacrifices. Real love gives willingly. And our love is really demonstrated by the depth by which we are willing to sacrifice. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. You know, in many homes, it's almost as if the husband thinks that he is married to a maid and a housekeeper and a concubine all rolled up into one. As a matter of fact, somebody once wrote Dear Ann Landers and wrote this. "Dear Ann Landers, my husband doesn't talk to me. He just sits there night after night reading the newspaper or looking at TV. And when I ask him a question, he grunts, Sometimes he doesn't even grunt, All he really needs is a housekeeper and somebody to sleep with him when he feels like it. He can buy both of them. There are times when I wonder why we even got married." Those are real feelings. And husbands, if we fail to love our wives, these feelings start surfacing. And you think, well, wait a minute, Ed, do you mean I need to tell my wife I love her all the time? I mean, I said I love you at my wedding. Don't I have to keep saying that? I mean, do I really need to call home? Do I really need to pay attention? Yes, you do. Well, how do I do that? What's required of me? First and foremost, what's required in us is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's really impossible to have spiritual love in the home unless, of course, you're connected spiritually to Jesus Christ. And some of you might be thinking right now, well, I'm not a husband. I'm not even married. How does this apply to me? Well, you too need a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, everything in this world is dependent upon relationships. And in the home, the husband is to be a spiritual man. And outside of the home, the young man, the young lady, the single guy, the single gal, spiritual men and women. That's your source of hope, your source of strength. Anytime you extend love to someone else, it's sacrificial. But back to the husbands, sacrificial love is what Paul is calling for here in the Scriptures. And he goes on to give an answer to that question, how do I do it, Ed? What's required of me? How in the world can I love my wife? Again, draw your attention to verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Speaking of Jesus toward the church, with the washing of the water by the word. So love her in a spiritual way, Paul says. Sanctify her, wash her, sacrifice for her. How? With the word of God. That's the pattern of Jesus Christ. That's what he's doing with us right now. He's saved us. He's brought us into a relationship with him. And now, right now, this moment, right here in this room, he is washing you with the water of the word. There are attitudes, there are situations, there are things in your mind right now that are being washed away if you will allow them. There are dark spots, dirty spots, there are wrinkles that he's ironing out if you will let him. And that's what he does every time you expose yourself to the word of God. He washes you. And boy, do we need to be cleansed. There are so many areas that are holding us back from the fruitfulness of a deeper and a more abiding relationship with him. And if we were to allow ourselves, you've taken the first step, guys. You've gotten up and you've come. You've presented yourself to Jesus Christ as a living sacrifice. And now what's required is to what comes in the ear gate goes all the way down to the will. And you make a decision that will affect your life. And so how do we love our wives? We wash them with the water of the Word of God. And you might be thinking, guys, well, you mean Sunday's not enough? I mean, don't they get enough on Sundays? That's why I bring them to church. No. It's not enough. And this might be a probing or a convicting question, but it needs to be asked. And so I'll be the one to ask it. How many of you men are reading the Word of God to your wives? How many of you are looking at the Word of God with your wives, discussing it, talking about it? You know, there is a lot of talk about the raising of our kids. There's a lot of talk about the mortgage and the bills and what van we should buy and all the things that are going on in life. But how much talk is there of the Word of God? Allowing what God has done to you on a Sunday morning to go home and begin to wash your wife with the water of the Word. It shouldn't be her asking. It should be us doing. The effectiveness of a marriage is dependent upon the amount of the Word of God that's in your home. In John chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus said, "You are already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you." You see, men, when you are in the Word of God, when you are studying the Word of God, when you are looking for the Word, to the Word of God for answers and for guidance and for direction, it makes your home much easier. It makes it for your wife much easier to surrender and submit because she trusts that you are seeking the Lord. Because she trusts that you are looking to the Word for guidance. But when you're not in the Word, where are your ideas coming from? How are you making your decisions? Is it just whatever the winds of the world is going? Whatever's blowing through the home? Whatever's blowing through the neighborhood? Is it whatever latest television show that you saw or whatever article that you may have read? No, it has to be the Word of God. It's our only sustenance. A hunger for the Word of God, washing our waters with the water, washing our wives with the water of the Word. Because one day we will, I believe, present our wives to the Lord. Just as it says here, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Look at verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. In that picture, I believe that there will be a day when husbands will present their wives to the Lord. And it's almost as if we're beginning to prepare them to present them to the Lord. Spiritually strong. Spiritually concerned about the things of life. And even as Jesus is ready to present us as church, are we ready to present our wives? This is a popular time for guys to say, "But Ed, you don't know my wife." It's true. Those are the thoughts. You don't understand. You don't know my wife. You don't know what I put up with. You don't know the things that she does to me. She doesn't want to read with me. She doesn't want to pray with me. She doesn't want, she doesn't. Easy way out, isn't it? And I'll come alongside of you and go, oh, poor you. I'm so sorry for you. That you're right, you don't need to fulfill your role in the home anymore. You just got a bad deal. Well, first of all, you chose her. Right? And in all the weddings that I've ever done, in all the marriage counseling that I've ever done, as we go back to talk about the very beginning, when you chose her and when she walked down that aisle, you were excited about the things that were going to come in this marriage. You're excited. Oh, all the things that could be. Oh, what hope we have. And over the years, it got kind of slipped away. I would venture a guess that it slipped away largely in part to your attitude. And it goes both ways, of course. But I've never seen someone come up to the altar right before me as they begin to share vows and say, I'm only going to vow for a couple years, then I'm out of this marriage, you know. This is only a part-time thing. And I know that happens, and I know it's unfortunate, and I know a lot of times it's not wanted, but in the very beginning it wasn't that way. So guys, in your flesh, don't blame your wives. It happened with Adam and Eve, didn't it? They began to blame each other. Well, our home's all messed up. Everything's messed up because of him or because of her. And that's just the way the world operates. That's what sin will do to us. But what we can do is come back to the Word of God and say, I'm going to commit to love my wife. It's not her fault. And it's not all her problem. I mean, if you don't like this about her and you don't like that about her, I want you guys to consider this one truth scripturally. Write it down, jot it down in your notes. It's a very important point. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, the Bible says that the woman is the glory of the man. And really, as you look at the original language, what that is saying is that the woman is the reflection of the man. Now follow me on this. If there are things in your spouse and your mate and your wife that you don't like, and she's a reflection of you, then what does that say? There's some areas in your life that she's reflecting that perhaps need to be changed in you first. The wife is the reflection of the husband in the home. And if our wives have faults and failures and are spiritually lacking, the first place to look is my own spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's number one. Now, I'm not saying that somehow the husband is responsible for the sins of the wife or the free will decisions that a wife might make contrary to the Word of God. But what I am saying is what's in your hand and the responsibility you have as a husband. Look at your own spiritual life. Stop blaming each other. Before the fingers of blame come out, before the words of accusation begin to fly, how is my walk with the Lord doing? How am I doing spiritually? And here's the tragedy. Here's the tragedy in a home. Those feelings of anger and disgust and frustration often lead a man to neglect his wife, to give up, to just sort of pull out and huddle up in front of the TV or hide himself in the bedroom or work 14 or 20 hours a day just so he doesn't have to go home. And all of a sudden, a home is beginning to fall apart. And then there's divorce. We talked about that last week. I hate divorce with a passion. But it can be prevented. So maybe you've gone through a divorce and God is beginning to nurture you and bring you back to restoration and strengthen you. Certainly not a time to condemn you. But if you're looking forward and saying, perhaps divorce is possible for me, I want to put a roadblock in front of you and say, it's not a good option. It's very painful. It's very hurtful. And it will last forever. Husbands, love your wives. Save your marriage. Throw yourself down. Stop being so selfish, so self-centered in the home. Because spiritual love is the cement that keeps a marriage and a home together. Sacrifice. Laying yourself down. And truly, sacrificial love is what makes submission and leadership in the home possible. It's the beginning of your spiritual walk with the Lord, and it's continuing through in your home. Men, your wife is your ministry. Your wife is your ministry. And what a handful that you have. I know some of your wives. No, just joking. We love you. And you were saying, oh, well, my husband's a handful too. That's right. That's what happens when we're with fallen human beings. We're a handful with one another. We got personality problems. We got attitude problems. We get mad. We got sins and hang-ups and habits and things that need to be dealt with. But men, know this. Your wife is your ministry. And that's especially true for those of you that desire and think and believe that you have a calling into the ministry. And you think, if only I could get involved, if only I could fulfill this high calling of God in my life, if only I could be that worship leader, if only I could be that Bible teacher, if only I could be that pastor. If your wife isn't your primary ministry, you will never be any of those things. You can't sidestep your responsibility in the home. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible says that a spiritual leader must rule his own house well. And your wife is your ministry. She's your main testimony of how your home is going. And truly, if we really wanted to know how the home is going, we could ask the wife. we'd get a handful. You know, if you really want to know what I'm like, you might be able to pay Marie. She might tell you a few things. Because she knows. She's married to me. She knows my faults and failures. She knows my hang-ups. She prays for them. She prays that God would do a better work in me, a stronger work in me. And she's my first ministry. She always has to be my first ministry. I'm the pastor, the shepherd of my home. Men, so are you. And now you understand why you don't study the Word because, I'm not going to ever be a pastor, so I don't need to study the Word. Or I'm never going to be a worship leader. I'm never going to teach a home Bible study, so I really don't need to study the Word. No, it's just the opposite. You're already a shepherd and a pastor in your home. You've been given a wife, perhaps some kids, some neighbors. You've got a little church. You are a pastor. And the Word of God is relevant for you and important. Men, your wife is your ministry. Now, hold your places here and let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 for a moment. As again, Peter now sheds some light on our responsibilities. How do we rule our own house well? How do we become the husband, the spiritual husband that God wants us to be? I think Peter has some great insights in 1 Peter 3. We're going to pick up at verse 7. And you remember last week as we were looking through this, as we looked to the wise, we used the first 6 verses. And now Peter follows up and he says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them with understanding. And so the first way that you become a pastor and a shepherd of your home and you rule your own house well is that you dwell with your wives with understanding. You dwell with them. That word dwell means that you hang out at home. You spend time at home. You spend time with your wife. You dwell with them. You spend time with her. Your house isn't just a pit stop between all the activities that you have going. You know, you've got golf and you've got meetings and you've got softball and you've got hockey. You've got a hunting trip. You've got basketball. You've got pool. You've got work. You've got all these other things. And oh yeah, by the way, I need to stop by to change my clothes and get a meal and a hug and a kiss before I go out to do the next thing. Dwell with them with understanding. Your homes are not motels. Your home is a sanctuary. Your home is a sanctuary, and you're the shepherd of your home. Dwell with them. And dwell, again, has that idea is that you just plant yourself down with your wife and dwell with her. You hang out with her. Hey, when you were dating, you didn't have any problem with that. Always calling, always wanting to hang out, always wanting to find out what's happening. And now that you're married, you kind of change a little bit. All of a sudden, you don't want to hang out anymore. You don't want to go places. You don't want to invest. Everything else is so important. You know, if that's not you this morning, I lay it out before you so that it's a warning to you. But if it is you, take heed to the word of the Lord. Take heed to what the Spirit is saying and save your marriage. Begin to dwell with your wife once again. Hang out with a wife of your youth. Notice he says, don't only dwell with them, but dwell with them, in verse 7, with understanding. understand your wife. But you're saying, I can't understand her. I don't know what she wants. I don't understand why she acts. And Paul says, or Peter here says, through the Spirit, dwell with them with understanding. Know your wife. Study her. Take notes on her if you have to. And know the times when she's not feeling well. And understand what's going on that would set her off. You know, I find that instead of understanding our wives, we like pushing the buttons on our wives just to see if it still works. Let's see if this still gets her mad. And let's see if this still makes her worry. And let's see if, hey, dwell with them with understanding. Your wife is so special and unique, unlike any other. There was one model of your wife made and you got her. There's nobody else like her. She's special and unique. And what makes her so special and unique is she's married to you. She knows you and she still loves you. She knows you and she still supports you. She knows you and she's ready to go with you for the long haul. Dwell with them with understanding. Understand what your wife means. I read about a man that came home from work and his wife said, "Honey, are you ready for some super sex?" And he thought about it for a few seconds and said, "Well, what kind of soup do you have?" He didn't understand. He didn't understand. He says to love your own wives. Dwell with them with understanding. Notice, again, thirdly, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Give honor to her. Respect her. No name calling again. No button pushing. No meanness. As I was putting this together this week, something came up that reminded me when I was working in the world. There was a lot of guys that liked to check out other women. And I would spy. I said, "What are you doing that for?" And he says, "Well, you know, it's okay to look if I don't touch. It's okay to check her out, you know, as long as I'm not going after her." And even in the church, we've heard these things. Well, you know, Jesus said that it's if you look long at a woman, so the first look is okay. I'm here to tell you the first look is not okay. That is not honoring your wife. There is nobody more beautiful, more special, more attractive in this world than your wife. And so guys, hey, don't dishonor her by checking some other woman out. It's not right. It's just not right. It's a dishonor to your wife. You know, I remember somebody saying, "Well, I'm just window shopping. You know, God made women pretty, didn't he?" Yeah, he sure did. And he gave you one as your wife. It's a dangerous world out there because the women of this world want to be looked at. The commercials that we see, the advertisements, the movies, all the things, the enemy's using them to get your eyes on them and to make you dissatisfied with your wife. To make you unhappy with her. And don't be fooled by it, guys. It's a work of the enemy, pure and simple. It's from the pit of hell to destroy your home. So keep your eyes to yourself. Your wife needs to feel that she's valuable because she is. She needs to know that your heart beats only for her. That there would be no doubt in that at all. She needs to understand that there's nobody out there anywhere that can steal your heart from her. No matter how much they try. We're going through on Thursday nights in Genesis. And we're going to find in the life of Joseph as he's working and he's just being a faithful boss. His owner, his boss's wife, Potiphar's wife, begins to totally pour on the charm. And I mean, she's not even holding back. She tells him, "Lie with me, lie with me, come have sex with me." And it took for Joseph to run away and leave his garment in order to get out of it. There might be situations, guys, where you just have to run away. You just have to, "No, no, I don't want to look, I don't want to look." And you know, who cares if anybody makes fun of you? You're honoring your wife. Maybe it's a change of profession. You need to get out of that job. And you go, "Wait a minute, that's how I'm providing for my home. Doesn't God want me?" He does want you to provide your home. He definitely does. But if it's exposing you constantly to things that are dishonoring your wife, consider it, guys. Say, "Lord, is this your will? How can I possibly function in this job? Is it the job? Is it the place you live? Is it all types of things that could be a hindrance and a distraction for you towards your wife?" love your wife. Know and let her know that your heart beats only for her. And again, you know, as I'm going through this study, I'm thinking, how would I feel if I was sitting out there? And some of you might be thinking by now, you're way overboard now, Ed. I'm not the emotional, romantic type. I'm not into that syrupy stuff, man. I tell my wife, I love you, and that's it. That's all I give her. Well, all I can say is that real men love their wives. And maybe you do it a different way. Perhaps you have a different style. Maybe you're not that emotional. Maybe you're not that romantic or syrupy. But understand your wife. Dwell with her and give love to her the way that she's expecting it from you. And so as you know her and you love her, dwell with her with understanding, honor her, and love her sacrificially and spiritually. If I'm going to love my wife spiritually, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we believe that we need the power of the Holy Spirit to live holy lives in this world. We need the power of the Spirit in us. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon us, because the Spirit will lead and guide us and take us and empower us to be the type of people the Lord wants us to be. And perhaps it's just another infilling of the Spirit. I love women's retreats as a pastor. I just love them. Not because I go to them, but because women, all your husbands come to church. Well, most of them come to church if they can make it. And your kids, they come in. I don't know if you were there on Thursday night, but Thursday night the Calvary Kids Club had crazy hair day. That's your kids. They're all messed up. They got their clothes don't match. They're walking in with one shoe and, Daddy, 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 help me. Where's Mom? I didn't get my breakfast. And you know why I love that is because they begin to appreciate you more, ladies. And I know that as a fellowship, we're looking forward to our women's retreat in October of this year. And so you got plenty of time to plan for that so that your husbands can appreciate you more. While you're out getting fed the Word of God, they're home with the kids, learning what it's like to be you just for a day and a half. And so they're looking for that love from us husbands, sacrificially, spiritually. Let's go back to Ephesians 5 as we close up this morning. These last two verses, in verse 28, so husbands ought. That's a strong word there. It's in the Greek language, which is the original language of the New Testament. It's an imperative. So husbands ought to, they must, they have to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. So now Paul uses loving our bodies as an example. How we take care of our bodies, how we perhaps work out, or we make sure that we're dressed right, or our hair is combed, or all those other things. All the time that you spend, taking care of your body, guys, he says, use that as an example to love your wives. Take care of your wife. She's a part of your body. Love your wives even as you love your own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Verse 30, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. As a shepherd of your homes, you love your wives, and wives are just desiring a gentle, caring, loving interest from their husbands. That's sincere, where they're interested in what their wives are feeling. They don't want to be pushed around. They don't want to be bullied. They just want a simplicity of caring for one another. And marriage, Paul says, is a picture of a relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. It's a great mystery of how marriage works, but when it works, what a joy it is. And notice as we close up, verse 31, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That unity, that new relationship. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in so particular love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So we love her sacrificially, we love her spiritually, we love her strongly, and we love her wholeheartedly, with nothing held back, with everything that we have. You know, the years of marriage, they just fly by us. You turn around, you look back, you go, man, it's been that long? That many years? And marriage is a new relationship, notice. It's something brand new. It requires that the husband no longer cling to mom. no longer cling to mom and dad, that the husband leaves the home. A newlywed wife said to her husband when he returned home from work, "I have great news for you, honey. Pretty soon we're going to be three in this house instead of two." And her husband ran to her with a smile on his face and delight in his eyes. He was glowing with happiness and kissing his wife and said, "I'm glad that you feel this way, since tomorrow morning my mother is moving in with us." No. A husband's supposed to leave his mother and father and cling to his wife. A wife is to leave her mother and father and cling to her husband. And so, guys, don't compare the cooking with mom's. Don't say that your mom did it this way or that way. And, oh, it's oh so good to go back to mom's house. It can demoralize your wife. It can hurt her. It can absolutely put an anvil right on her head and knock her completely out of any concern or care for the home. Cut the apron strings, guys, and cling to your wife. And I can't think of any Christian believer who has a marriage where the husband is loving his wife and the wife is submitting to her husband, where that home is not blessed, where that home is not growing, where that home is not a witness to the things of God. There are no options. There are no options. Marriage is a one-time deal. In Song of Solomon, Solomon wrote, "Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised." Are you ready to give all the wealth of your house for the love towards your wife? Husband and his wife were talking together one night, and the wife began to think back and all the romance and love of her husband, of her and her husband that they once shared. All the neat dates, all the drive-in movies, all the times of shopping and things that they were doing together back in their younger days. And the wife says, "Honey, when we were younger, you used to nibble my ear." Then the husband got up and started to leave the room. And then the wife said, "Where are you going, honey?" And the husband said, "Well, I need to get my teeth." Who knows? Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Let's pray.